So before we get into demystifying the complex clearances and instructions you'll get flying IFR, let's stick to the basics of how you'll enter a holding pattern. The first thing we want to talk about is the racetrack. Well, you'll often hear holding patterns referred to as racetracks just by their very shape. Of course, these are right-handed racetracks as standard, and non-standard would be left-handed turns in this racetrack pattern. And we kind of have a diagram of that pattern shown below here. The racetrack is always going to be centered, so to speak, over a specific point, either a VOR, compass locator, not that there's many of those left in existence, or perhaps it's centered just along a regular fix on an airway. It could be a GPS fix or an intersection along Victor Airways. It's also important to note a standard holding pattern makes right-hand turns, a non-standard pattern would make left turns, opposite from the traffic pattern that we're used to flying in an airport. What ultimately affects the shape of the holding pattern racetrack is two things, your speed and the instructions on the hold, so the instructions ATC actually gives you, or the instructions that are depicted on a low-end route chart or an approach plate where it's actually depicting a holding pattern. The leg, or the time, always refers to the inbound leg, all right? So when we talk about 1 minute leg for holds, we're talking about the inbound leg. We don't care what the outbound leg is, actually. And you're like, well, why wouldn't you care? Well, what if you have a crazy headwind? We want you to fly inbound for 1 minute and then outbound for a little bit less than a minute because with that tailwind, as you turn that 180 degrees, you're going to have a tailwind. Your ground speed would be faster. So we care about the inbound leg and we care about it being typically 1 minute. That's a pretty standard. Or potentially they'll give it to us in nautical miles. Typically, when you're doing holds centered on like a VOR or any sort of just general fix, it's going to be timed. And then if you're doing holds associated with like an RNAV or any sort of GPS feature, then it's going to be a distance for the inbound leg, typically like 4 nautical mile inbound leg distance. So just keep in mind, when we talk about the time, or the leg distance, we're always referring to the inbound leg. And of course, in the sense of distance, well, the inbound and outbound leg would be equal. But in time, it's just the inbound leg. Now, 1 minute inbound legs are standard, and right-hand turns are standard. So if you take away nothing else from what we just talked about, that's what I want you to remember. Inbound legs, 1 minute, right-hand turns, that's the standard for holding patterns. You make standard right turns in a hold. So your speed will affect the radius of the turn, and your speed will also affect the distance of the legs when flying a timed hold, a 1 minute inbound hold. Sometimes a holding pattern's legs may be specified in distance, like we talked about, instead of time, and you would then have equal length legs inbound and outbound if it's specified in distance. Now, how do we get into the holding pattern? This depends on from which direction you're approaching, ultimately. Well, there's not a regulation requiring you to enter a holding pattern in a certain way. The FAA does have recommendations, and your examiner or CFII will expect you to use the proper holding pattern entries. So on the check ride and in training, you need to use the proper holding pattern entries. Your GPS, if it's figuring out the entry for you, will always figure the proper entry. And then in reality, there's no reg as to how you have to enter the holding pattern. General rule of thumb, always stay on the protected side of the hold. So stay on the side of the hold that when you're on the inbound leg, wherever that racetrack is drawn, say if it's drawn out towards the left or towards the right, that's the protected side. That's the side they want you to operate on. They don't want you to go towards the non-protected side. It's a lot easier to understand protected and unprotected sides when we look at a diagram of a holding pattern depicted that we can see down here below. And we'll get to that here in just a minute as we continue moving through here. First thing, though, is to tell how to enter a hold. So I'm going to show you my basic way of doing this, how I do it when I'm in the airplane, and I just have a scratch sheet of paper and I want to figure out how should I enter the hold. So first step is draw a dot on a piece of paper, on your kneeboard or whatever, and that dot represents your holding fix, either an intersection, a VOR, etc. Draw two perpendicular lines then through the center of the holding fix. So now we have those lines relatively representing north, east, south, and west. Let's say, for example, and we'll cover this a lot more in the next topic, but let's say these are the instructions you get. So if these instructions sound a little familiar or a little foreign, don't worry, they'll be a lot more familiar after the next topic. So you're going to be told to hold north on the 360 radial 1 minute legs. Well, Now you have all the information you need to go ahead and draw your holding pattern. If you're holding north, then your holding pattern will be established and drawn on the north side of the station on the 360 radial. That tells you your inbound radial. And 1 minute legs tells you how long your inbound legs should be. You can now draw the racetrack and arrows, if you wish, to help you visualize it like this diagram below here in step 3. So I've gone ahead and drawn that racetrack pattern. I drew arrows in the direction that I want to be flying it. So you can see standard right-hand turns. My inbound leg is the 360 radial because I was told to hold north on the 360 radial with 1 minute legs. That's standard and right turns is standard. So now step 4 here is to go ahead and draw a line. You can draw it dashed or solid, your choice. I like to draw it dashed just to not confuse myself. And you offset it 20 degrees. Think of turning or tilting this line towards the holding pattern. Another way to think of this is to turn or twist or tilt, whatever you prefer, the dashed line you're drawing to more evenly divide the holding pattern. All right, so if you're getting confused, hey, which way am I supposed to tilt this thing 20 degrees, left or right or counterclockwise or clockwise or whatever, just think about trying to divide that holding pattern in a more even way with that 20 degree offset of that dashed line. And that is the orientation that you want your dashed line to be. So now we have our 20 degree dashed line going through our holding pattern. And the last and final step is for you to draw you. So I use a little simple T shape to draw my airplane, which represents my wings, my fuselage. Once you have yourself on the map, you can decide what section you are approaching to enter from. You can also label each section, remembering that direct is the largest section. Obviously, it's the easiest and it's the largest section. Teardrop is the smallest because no one wants to spend a bunch of time crying. And parallel must be what's left. So not the smallest, not the biggest, it's kind of the middle section. So now our diagram looks something like this, the bottom of step 5. We can see direct is the biggest section, 180 degrees is direct. Teardrop is just a tiny little 70 degree section, and parallel is a 110 degree section. So we can see that where we drew our little airplane, where we are, we're going to be entering from the teardrop sector, and you should fly a teardrop entry to the hold to reverse course and get established inbound in your holding pattern. This seems like a lot of work just to do something you really don't want to do in the first place, right? I know, it's okay. Luckily, in the real world, we don't have to do holds all that often, and that's what makes it so important to practice them and become very proficient at them in the training environment, because this isn't something you're going to get more proficient at when you go out there and fly on your own. If you do proper flight planning and avoid high traffic density areas, where you know there's going to be traffic delays, you probably won't have to face much holding. Now, if you like colorful and pretty things, then you can check out the colorful and pretty diagram below. It shows with a little more enthusiasm which sector is what and what to do with your course or what your course would look like flying either a teardrop or a parallel entry or a direct entry. Obviously, a direct entry on this particular diagram is not depicted because, well, you're just going to be turning over the fix to directly enter into your right turn and proceed outbound, and you're basically already established in the hold once you cross the fix. So for our direct entry, we don't really see that diagram drawn there, but you can see where you're coming from on the teardrop side. You can see where you'd be coming from on the parallel side and how that would look if you're entering from the teardrop sector or the parallel sector there. So that's the FA's fancy little diagram there. That's a little bit more colorful than the one I draw on my kneeboard, but the one that I draw on my kneeboard works very well for me when I'm taking something like a written exam, works very well for our students when they're taking written exams, or when they're actually flying the real airplane and trying to visualize this in flight, and all you have is your kneeboard and a pen to go ahead and make some notes there. Now, we've established how to get into the hold. How do we proceed with the hold? So when you're getting holding instructions, they will always specify the radial to hold on, the leg length, the direction of turns, and an EFC time. Now, a couple of these things, or well, really the biggest one, direction of turns, simply by ATC not mentioning the turn direction, it means they want standard right turn. So they are specifying it by not saying anything is how they're actually specifying it. So all those four criteria are always specified whenever you're getting holding instructions. If you don't get all four of those criteria, keep in mind, if they just don't mention the turns at all, then you are told to turn right. But if they don't give you something like an EFC time, or they don't give you a leg length, or they don't give you the radial to hold on, you'll want to go ahead and clarify. So those four criteria are the things we need to hold. Obviously, we also need to know what fix or where to hold on besides just the radial, but that's going to be the easiest part or the most obvious part of what ATC is telling you. They don't just say hold and expect you to start holding right there. They always tell you where you're going to be going as well. Now, we'll go ahead and take a look below at some examples of how a hold entry in the whole procedure will look, establishing yourself in the hold based on ATC instructions. So for this first example, the ATC instructions sound something like this. Cessna 8 Mike Alpha, hold north on the 360 radial of the Sarasota Vortac, 1 minute legs, expect further clearance at 1253 Zulu, time now 1240 Zulu. And they typically make it more complicated than that by saying, time now 1253 Zulu, or you know, EFC of 1253 Zulu, time now 1240 Zulu. And then you have to just scribble all that down on your piece of paper. And once you actually scribble it all down, at that point, my brain actually sees it all written down, and then I can actually interpret and understand it. It's hard for me to understand when they're talking to me because I'm absorbing all that and writing at the same time. By the time I get it down on paper and I can visually see it, I'm a visual person, then I can start to make sense of it. So I write all that down. I read back what I wrote down. Even if I don't understand it at that point, I read it back because that confirms what I wrote is correct. And if they don't say anything, then what I wrote is correct. And now I can go on to rationalizing and reasoning it. There's one small caveat there. If you read it back and you don't understand it, you still have to comply with it. By reading it back, you're saying that you understand and will comply. So you take somewhat of a little bit of a risk there if you read it all back and then don't know what to do. Now, of course, you can always call them back and say, oh, I know I read that back, but I actually don't know what you want me to do. I'm so sorry. Can you repeat that? Can you tell me a different way? Can you clarify this or that for me? And that's all fine. You can do that until the frequency is super jammed up and it's too busy to call them or your radio fails. Then you're in a bit of a pickle. So small caveat there with that approach. Make sure that you understand the concept on the ground enough that when you get into the airplane, just by simply writing this down on an e-board, you will know what they're talking about. And we can see what that holding pattern actually looks like there, holding north on the 360 radial of the Sarasota Vortac, 1 minute legs. We can see that they did not ever tell us what direction to turn, so we just assume right turns. And we can see that little right line that we drew in the diagram there shows what the holding pattern with that racetrack would look like. Now let's try it again with a different type of clearance. Cessna 8 Mike Alpha, hold southeast on the 150 radial of the Sarasota Vortac, 5 mile legs, left turns, EFC at 1253 Zulu, time now 1240 Zulu. That was rather fast. I'll read it back one more time, a little bit slower. Cessna 8 Mike Alpha, hold southeast on the 150 radial of the Sarasota Vortac, 5 mile legs, left turns, expect further clearance at 1253 Zulu, time now 1240 Zulu. Now, which one do you think they're actually going to read you? They're going to read you the first one nice and fast. You can always say student pilot, or you can always say again and get them to read it again to try to get them to slow down a little bit. And we can see this diagram here shows us holding southeast on the 150 radial of the Sarasota VOR with 5 mile legs and left turns. If it was right turns, that VOR would just be flipped over onto the right side of the 150 radial. And we would actually be still holding to the southeast on the 150 radial, just making right turns. That protected side of the holding pattern right now is more on the southwestern side of the VOR. If we flipped it with right turns, the protected side of the holding pattern would be more on the eastern side of the VOR. So just to kind of visualize what the protected side versus unprotected side is, it's wherever that loop extends out to is the protected side. Wherever you don't have a flight path depicted is the unprotected side. Why is there an unprotected side? Probably because there's a mountain or towers or something that they don't want you to encounter. Now, there's also a cool little video here you can go watch below that will also show you how all this works in the actual aircraft with a VOR needle swinging around. And some takeaways here. Here's what I want you to remember from this section of what we were just talking about. The limitations that apply to holding patterns, these are written test questions, and these are good things to know for your check ride. The examiner may or may not be really thrilled with you if you don't know these, so good thing to try to commit to memory the best you can, or at least have this written down somewhere that's easily accessible, perhaps on an e-board. Holding pattern limits. From the ground on up to 6,000 feet MSL, 200 knots is the speed limit in a holding pattern. Why is there a speed limit? Well, most of all, for those timed holds, they don't want you flying too far away from the fix and getting away from where it's protected. So from 0 to 6,000 feet, 200 knots. 6,001 feet MSL, or above 6,000 feet MSL, to 14,000 feet MSL, 230 knots. 14,001 foot MSL and above, 265 knots is the max speed limit. If for some reason you're flying an airplane that cannot safely fly that slow, 200 knots, 230 or 265 knots, then you have to advise ATC and let them know that you can't fly that slow. I'm pretty sure that's not going to be the case for any of us. I think we can all fly well below the 200, the 230, or the 265. Now, we also need to slow to that holding speed 3 minutes prior to crossing the holding fix. When does this apply? No, it doesn't really apply to your Cessna, but if you go on to become an airline pilot and you're flying that Airbus or Boeing 737 and you're smoking along there at 330 knots, you need to slow to the speed limits 3 minutes prior to crossing the holding fix, and depending on what altitude you're at, is going to be what your speed limit is. Remember, 200 knots, 230 knots, or 265, 6,000, and 14,000 are those breaking points for those speeds. At 14,000 feet and below, we have a standard time for timed holds of 1 minute, and above 14,000 feet MSL, 1.5 minutes is standard. Those are the takeaways. Those are the limitations I want you to remember. And we will see you guys for the next section when we start talking about the teardrop entry for the hold.